And I do have a genuine, irrational, subconscious awareness that people should not know that I'm sleeping. Like, I...
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dicer, and this week I'm joined by fellow baffle gabbers, Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Ian Whittington.
Hello.
We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as
he
well.
He just did a British accent. Like, he just did a fake British accent over his own British accent.
I forget that I'm English.
That's amazing.
And I put on an English accent. It's like, oh, hello, nice to see you, jolly good, piff, piff.
That's like when Reese Witherspoon is trying to be a Southerner, and I'm like, dude, you're a Southern.
You're,
like,
you're already a Southerner.
Bah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's nothing more. Have I talked about this on the show? I don't think I have. There's nothing more interesting than when Ian was over here for a while, and I had to wake him up to get the car keys because he had used the vehicle for something. When you wake up Ian, he is, I think, and Ian, you can speak to this, but has a fear of being thought of as a sleeping human being. Like, he does not want you to think that he is sleeping, because you wake him up and his first thing he'll be like, oh, hello there. And it's just like,
genuinely,
it's like the most awake human ever, even though you just woke him up from a deep sleep at 5 a.m.
So Aaron's an early riser. So it literally was 5 a.m. And I think I'm a night owl. So I think I went to sleep at like 1 a.m. or something stupid.
Yeah.
And I do have a genuine, irrational, subconscious awareness that people should not know that I'm sleeping. Like, I if it's napping, I'm the definition of no, I was just resting my eyelids. I'm ready to go. And your man knocks on the door, is like, oh, can I just grab the keys? Oh, Johnny, good, how are you doing? Spiffing. Very, very good. Yeah. And I'd woken up seconds earlier.
He's in a suit.
I'm already dressed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't like people knowing that I sleep.
Yeah, it's well, you know, I
let's unpack that on the show in front of an audience.
Sure, let's
thank
get
you
into
so
it.
Much.
We'll do the first. We'll do the Sinside Ian, and then we'll get into the Sinside.
No, there's no inside Ian.
All right, fair enough. Let's get into the Sinside scoop.
What's he building in there?
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sinning them, how we felt about the stuff we are sinning in general. We kick it off in commercial sins world with Fushigi!
Fushigi!
This is a Jeremy Scott script. Jeremy wrote this one. If you don't know what Fushigi is, I guess right off the bat, I will tell you, it's a ball, okay? It is a ball, and if you know how to do contact magic, it appears... you know, that you can make it levitate. But you could do this with any solid, somewhat heavy ball. This is so weird.
It's a Bowie
they sell
ball.
This thing. Yeah, yeah. So
I wonder how it did. I don't even remember it. So,
man,
that doesn't mean anything.
But. Well enough for us to be talking about it.
It's true. People know about it. What did you guys think? Jonathan, let's kick it off with you. What are some of your thoughts on the Fushigi ball and the Sins video and all that?
It looks like one of several million dumb products that they tried to sell like this in the I would say mostly 90s, although I think this was early aughts, right? Wasn't this like 2002 or something?
I don't know for sure, but I thought
there was something in the commercial that said that, but I could be wrong. But anyways, this was like, it just, especially like during the day, like daytime programming, you would just see these crazy commercials, and it would be something like this. It would be a ball that was a ball that they're just trying to sell to you for $19.99, and then you get a DVD on how to do contact magic, I guess. Do you know how to do contact magic, Aaron? Because I know you're like a little magician over
there. I did practice for a while growing up with some coin tricks, like, you know, rolling a coin over your hand kind of thing.
So it's similar to that. That's basically what they're doing, just with a bigger object.
You're doing things, yes, you're doing things that make it appear as if things are defying, you know, kind of gravity and physics and those kind of things, but they're not. Basically, you're moving your hands in a way that keep the ball centered, so it looks like it's levitating and your hands are kind of moving around it, but your hands are always in contact with the ball, so...
And this damn thing makes it advertise as if as soon as you pick this ball up, you get that. And that's mm-hmm. no, it's right. The sides don't rotate around you. You still have to be able to do this. You need a skill set for this to look as cool as what they're doing.
That's the thing that was confusing me about the commercial. The so it really is just a ball. Like, it's just a mm-hmm. cool looking yep. ball.
Yeah,
which is why that comparison to the trick deck of cards is so good. Because it's like, no, it's you can't advertise a deck of cards like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had trick decks of cards. I had strip decks, which basically means one end of the deck of cards is a little wider than the other end. So if a card is turned around, you can kind of feel it and pull it mm-hmm. out of the deck. That's a strip deck. I had mark decks. I had a lot of magic stuff growing up because I really did enjoy it. But I never had... I never did any contact magic really like that. Again, other than maybe some coin stuff. And I mean, the closest thing I ever did, honestly, was when I played basketball. I did basketball tricks like that, like, you know, where I would roll them over, you know, arms and hands and, you know, around the back and that kind of stuff. So do some ball handling tricks. But yeah, nothing with like a small contact magic ball. No.
So. Nice. So magic is not real. And I
wait, what?
Stop it. Stop.
Good Lord.
I don't know. I'm telling you, though, sometimes I know it's not, but there are some magicians where I'll watch them do something and I'll be like, I still don't know how you did that. Like, I mean,
so fun.
Maybe magic isn't real, but.
Well, it's the whole point of Fool Us, right? It's the whole point of Penn & Teller's Fool Us.
And they get fooled.
And the idea is they love that. Like, they are on the search for that feeling of mm-hmm. being like, how did you do that? And so, like, if even like some of the greatest magicians of all time still love that feeling, like that's what's so fun, that's what's so powerful
not,
about it.
Yeah. Not to get off on a fullest rant, but fullest tangent, but I do love that show too.
Oh, so
although
good.
I don't think I watch it as much as Aaron. I don't keep up with it every season, but I think I almost love it when they get it right, because I think there's something about the way Penn talks. I just like to see him be smart. I don't know why mm-hmm. that is, but he'll just be like, mm-hmm. there's a Spanish guy who John Bob. And I think now you know what I'm talking about, right? And then the magician would be like, yeah, you got me. Like, it's how do you so know good. All this stuff? Like, how do you keep it's this so stuff good. In your head?
Yeah, he's really good at slipping in keywords. And yeah, he's really smart about
it. I don't know if there's like a finer like speaker than like I feel like he could speak on any subject, and if he knew nothing about it, he would make you believe he was the world's
greatest. He's a great communicator. Yeah, he really is.
And he kind of has to be, right?
Isn't that dangerous when people use that for nefarious purposes?
It is.
Which is why it's so brilliant that his whole foundation is against that. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I have these powers to manipulate people and make them think that I can do mysterious things. And my whole thing is to say, that is a fun trick. And, mm-hmm. you know, stop believing these things are magic. Yeah.
Is Allison Hannigan still hosting it?
Yes. Yes, she is.
Very cool.
She's doing
very
great.
Cool.
Yep.
Sins I liked. I loved just the random pointing out the guy with the questionable choice in pants. I just thought that was an odd choice, because if you're trying to like have a group of people and they're all dressed the same except this one guy has like these really off color pants.
Put him in the middle as well, the middle of everybody.
you know that guy was just like, I'm not wearing those shorts, or he forgot them or something, and and they just didn't have time to get somebody else in there. In the commercial, it says it floats, it levitates, and the scent is, it neither floats nor levitates. I just like, and then if girls in bikinis like this ball, you should too.
That hasn't changed.
Good stuff. I guess I can go next. I didn't know this existed. I don't remember ever seeing this, and it immediately made me angry. I already talked about why, just because it's such a... It's such a stupid way to sell what is essentially a pool ball, or a billiards ball, if you prefer.
A snooker ball.
A snooker ball, if you want. It's so frustrating. I did love, obviously, the video. The phrase, I am raised eyebrow emoji, made me laugh so hard. Just a fun way to say that. And then naming the different moves and choosing the name The Wobbling Minx just was beautiful. So I just wanted to mention those things. What about you, Ian?
And I mean this with all of the love and affection in the world, but if you wanted to understand what the most unfair and probably most common stereotype that America has in Europe, it's this advert. Like, it's over the top excitement, screaming, misplaced energy and excitement, bikinis mm-hmm. and whatever. So like the most unfair stereotype of Americans is this advert. And it's probably because that's the adverts you guys put out there. That's what you put in front of us to see. These are all meant to be normal people. Like the whole premise of the advert mm-hmm. is look how normal and average I am and I can enjoy this. So of course you've trained us to think, huh, America.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But in terms of the sins, if you have to tell people your product is sweeping the nation, it probably isn't sweeping
probably
the nation.
Not. Probably
it's
not.
So great. It's self-disproving. And it's, how do you get into the situation of, get to the point of trying to look natural? You've got a microphone in your face while you're on the phone, and the phone call that you're making is how great this transparent ball is. Like, it's the mm-hmm. definition of, is that really something to write home about? And how mm-hmm. convenient is it that it's going to be recorded as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the perfect commercial to sin because it's a combination of a commercial that does everything stereotypically wrong and thinks it's great marketing, but it isn't, and mm-hmm. a fad toy that is so transparent but still probably made a bajillion dollars. But yeah, perfect yeah. advert for us to sin.
Yeah. There you go. That is Fushigi.
Fushigi!
Exactly. Let's move into TV sins. Back on the What If train. I will say right off the bat as we go into What If Ultron 1, yes, we skipped an episode.
Where's the Hulk one? Where's the Thor? Thor. Where's that yeah. Thor episode?
Where's it, Thor?
Where is it?
You know
it's out of order, right?
Thank you, Ian. Thank you for your incredible imitation of the comment section. To What If Ultron 1.
Screw this video. Where's this other episode?
I guess what I'll just say is just know we are as frustrated as you are that we had to go out of order on this one and for reasons.
We had it scheduled to go up in Pacific time. That's the problem.
That's right. I accidentally scheduled it in Pacific time.
And now you won't see it for 3 months.
And now, because Pacific, you don't know this, runs 3 months behind everything else.
Yeah.
No, we hope to get that What If Thor episode to you eventually. I'm sure that will happen. But for now, just your patience is appreciated. What If Ultron 1 was a WeeWa script. Watkins Whittington, Ian and Jonathan writing on this one. Yeah. Jonathan, kick us off. What are some of your thoughts on What If Ultron 1?
I still don't know really what I think about this series. Obviously we kind of found out with this and the next one, because this was the first part of two, right? Or was this the final episode? Am I remembering this incorrectly?
Yeah, this is kind of a two-parter with the finale. Yeah.
Yeah, but we start to find out that a lot of this is tying together. Mm-hmm,
right.
And I mean, I guess you still basically have an anthology series, but it's definitely an anthology series it's going to build its wraparound story there at the end, which all ties mm-hmm. kind of everything together, which is interesting. I don't know that, like, I don't know. I don't know how it's just, for whatever reason, it's not hitting me, I guess, as like great or anything, but it's perfectly right. fine. And this was just as good as probably just about any episode I've seen before it. It was cool to see Ultron back. I wish they had gotten James Spader, which I did send, but nothing wrong with, God, what's that guy's name?
I'm not sure.
It's a
Spader imitator.
I haven't read that. Well, it's Mark Hand. Yeah, James Marquand. Who's a very well-known voice actor in his own right, mm-hmm. and sure. He was on Walking Dead. He was Aaron on Walking
Man
Dead.
Man with beard and metal arm.
Man with beard. Very good actor.
Actually, he kind of looks like me. I'm thinking about it. He looks a lot like me, but with curlier hair.
Nice.
You are discount Marquand.
Oh, wow. Marquand. And he's discount Spader? That's the word? I'm discount Spader?
Something like that.
Hey, things could be worse. You know, you could be discount Andrew McCarthy or something.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, no, it was fine. As far as the sins, I knew Aaron would just sell this very well, so I was very excited about the, did she just shame puns? Did she just shame puns? Mm-hmm.
I had that too.
I loved Ian's couple of things Ian did. I know Ultron doesn't need an atmosphere to work, but sound does. And then just the Bluetooth never works, and I felt that. I loved it.
I'm yep. right. There is, I'm, so obviously wrote that weeks and weeks and weeks ago, but I'm feeling it today because my Bluetooth headphones won't damn work. And I was like, Bluetooth, we invented this 20 years ago and it still doesn't have a purpose.
I don't know if either one of you have cars with Bluetooth in it, but that gets on my nerves too, because not only will it not connect what I want it to, it will randomly connect when I really don't want it to. Like, I'll be on the phone or something, and then all of a sudden I'm like,
yeah,
I'm in the car, and I'm like, what is going on? Like,
so you can connect multiple devices to the car, and for some reason I always have to tell it to connect to mine, but the one time a month I might happen to be driving my mum somewhere, it immediately connects to her phone. Yep. I'm like, fuck you, car. Yep. What are you? This lady doesn't own you.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Bluetooth.
Bluetooth.
Much appreciated. Ian, how about you?
When I got to this episode and the finale, I was immensely satisfied and immensely disappointed, because I love that it's all interconnected, and that really, really did it for me, because it's just a great payoff that everything you've been watching isn't on its... I don't know, it doesn't matter, you can enjoy it for what it is, but I love that all of the toys got to play together at the end as well. But I was massively disappointed because of how much we got to know the Watcher. Like, I loved the Watcher being this really mysterious, confusing character that... His powers aren't their powers aren't explained, and we don't know why he does the things he does. He's just there, and he's just there to watch. Now he's not the Watcher, he's the Interferer. And it felt like maybe that's something you do on season 3, 4, 5 as a big, this is the end of the story. But where does there may not be an intent to do any more what if stories, but where do you go now that he has intervened? Anything else is a bit anticlimactic, but overall, I did think the episode was a lot of fun. Terms of the sins, yeah, come on. Shaming puns. Did she just shame puns? Great. We're too late. He did it, Laura. And then just fucking Bucky. But then apologising, because like, whenever someone is sentimental about a character, the narrator just defaults to fucking Bucky. You can't help avoid that. You'll have to excuse me if I have trouble believing that saving the entire multiverse from the destructive hands of an omniscient entity infused with infinity stones now rests solely on the shoulders of two people whose superpowers consist of an aptitude for gymnastics and above average hand-eye coordination. Just continuing the Hawkeye hate is one of my favorite things to do. And
if only there were a Disney Plus show that we could really lay on some Hawkeye hate. If only.
Oh,
what
boy.
What if
What if the show was actually good? It's
great. What if it was?
What if?
I am also a little bit iffy, iffy, if you will, on this show being connected now. It made it better for me. I think that's safe for me to say. I wasn't necessarily enjoying it as much as I had hoped. And then when it interconnected, I was like, okay, this makes it a little bit better for me. I can see kind of what they're doing. It wasn't helped by, and we'll talk about this more in the next episode, I'm sure. It wasn't helped by the fact that they had to delay one of the episodes. So, you know, feel your pain, by the way. What if? It wasn't helped by the fact that they actually had to completely eliminate one of the lead up episodes, you know, that would have played into the finale.
Why did they have to do that? Do you know?
I don't think they've said. I think they've said they plan on airing it either as part of season 2 or before season 2. But yeah, I'm not sure how they're going to do that. My guess is it was an actor thing. My guess is it was a contract or a voice actor that
maybe they bought Scarlett Johansson in for something, and then we're gonna need to pull that because we're in hot water.
I don't know. But anyhow, overall, as of this point, I think I'm going, okay, this is kind of fun. But like you, Ian, it just kind of undercuts everything it's tried to tell us about what's going on.
Yeah, for
and
real.
So it does feel a little bit just like, okay, well then what is this? I thought you're kind of giving us what this is, and then you're just like, no, actually, it's just like everything else. Yeah. You know,
these rules don't matter. He's just another potential Avenger.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I do think, you know, you ask what season 2 will be. Guardians of the Multiverse is, you know, again, something we'll deal with more next episode, but is definitely something that you know they'll probably lean into, I would imagine. So yeah, I'm enjoying it fine. It's fine. It's canon. It's good stuff to know. It's interesting. I'll be curious to see how it plays into the Doctor Strange movie.
Wait, is it?
So
Oh, I didn't know that.
I said I'd be curious to see how.
Sorry. You know, I mean, it's canon thing. It is canon?
Oh, it's absolutely 100% canon. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Cool. Even when they were being cagey about it connecting, they said all these episodes are canon.
Oh, I think everything on Disney Plus is canon, right?
Yeah.
Like all the shows on there. I'm not sure about the Hulu.
And the Marvel side, not on the Star Wars side,
Marvel side specific. And in fact, we're finding out that maybe some other Marvel shows are canon. Well,
That's interesting. Yeah.
Just maybe. We're tiptoeing around.
It's possible.
As far as the sins, you guys mentioned most of them, but the sinning of open containers near expensive equipment, even though it was the point, was great. And I just loved calling out Clinton Francis Barton by his full name, since we know it now.
Yeah.
I hate that cliche, too, the whole doesn't know the middle name. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It happens a lot.
Some cliches don't need to exist.
It's very sitcom. Yeah.
By possessing all 6 Infinity Stones, Ultron has the ability to bend time, space, and even reality itself. The Watcher, in turn, has access to every recorded event in the past, present, and future of the universe. But let's stick to the good old alternating beams of color, witty retorts, and general fisticuffs to settle this battle between two of the most powerful beings known to exist.
Yeah, that was Ian's. I had something about that too, though, because that was the most frustrating thing. That's always about these.
You could have predicted it. You could have written that finale without seeing the episode. It's so frustrating. Just like have some imagination. You can do it, because your Doctor Strange versus Thanos fight was in Endgame. Infinity War was fantastic. You have the ability to do this, but nope, I'm going to punch you into the ground.
Well, and then, like you mentioned too, Captain Marvel's inability to like have any effect is bizarre too, because if she's supposed to be the most powerful person, I mean, I don't know.
No, it's dumb. It's convenient, convenient dumbness.
All right, let's move on to the second TV sin. Santa Claus is coming to town. We did another Christmas special. This was a Wee Hugh. This was
I'm going to keep singing a lot this week. I don't know why.
I need a hero. Bum, bum, bum.
Nice. Sorry. Nice.
Something, something, something. Hughes, Whittington, doing this one, Danae, and Ian. Santa Claus is coming to town. I guess, Ian, we get to start with you. Tell us about your experience with this Christmas special. Had you ever seen it before?
Nope, never seen it before. I'm really dreading having children, because it means you apparently have to watch some of this stuff.
No, you can. I mean, you know, they're good. You can set them in front of a TV and then you just can leave? Have stuff set
can
to
I go
play.
Shopping?
I mean, you go to another room.
Oh, okay, cool, fine.
And then if they, or put headphones on, you can put headphones on, you can read a book. I read a lot of books while my daughter was watching.
So get really distracted
stuff.
So that when they scream, you don't notice it.
Yeah,
because there's some really effed up stuff on the screen here that I'm like, I don't know that I want a child to watch this. It's what's confused me a little bit about this run of like festive things that we've been doing is how few of them I've watched. And I'm like, Mum, Dad, did you just not want me to watch festive things? Like, why was I watching Alien and Duel at the age of
But is it possible
five?
That these are just American things? Like, I
it's
mean,
possible.
Isn't it
That was my guess when
it
you
may
were
well
saying
be.
That.
Yeah. But then, to be honest, I don't have anything in its place. Like, I don't have any English stuff that I was watching instead.
Doctor
like
Who,
there's,
right?
Yeah, but that came back when I was like 15, and that's
no. But I mean, the Doctor Who Christmas special, like, is specifically like don't like Downton Abbey did Christmas, but I'm just like you guys have your shows do like Christmas specials, don't they?
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if that's your version.
Well, that was literally the next point I was about to make. Is
are
that
you
I
being
remember,
served?
Yeah, I remember a lot of Christmas-themed episodes from Mr. Bean or something, or the two Ronnies that we talked about last week. They would have big Christmas shows. The Mr. Bean Christmas special is frigging phenomenal.
Rowan Atkinson is amazing.
He's the best. Genius. So,
I can't remember what they're called now. I even kind of dig the spy movies, like the Austin Powers kind of type. The Johnny English.
Oh, Johnny English stuff, yeah.
At least the first one I thought was funny, I remember.
Really super quick on the Mr. Bean Christmas special. He has a girlfriend of sorts, and they go Christmas shopping so she can pick out a present. And she goes up to a window, falls in love with this ring that's in a window, And Mr. Bean buys her the photo frame showing it on a couple instead with the picture. Because he thought that's what she was looking at. And he's so proud and she's so disappointed and she leaves. I was like, you're a terrible person, Mr. Bean. You're better off alone. But Santa Claus. I did not enjoy this. It was a bit... I like the stop motion. Fred Astaire is great. He's a great narrator, great, great storyteller for this. But the story, I could not get past how dumb the story was. Like, stop making toys. Like, all of these elves are making toys at the behest of some random king, but then dropping them off randomly. And then they can't drop them off randomly because there's a warlock in the way, because that's mm-hmm. where they choose to set up their workshop. They chose to put the workshop in with a ton of obstacles between them and the place that they need to get the presents to. So perhaps a younger Ian would have enjoyed this, but me, adult Ian, just enjoyed sending the what-sits off of it. So some of my favorites was, so the bad guy is Burgermeister. So I was like, looks like the writers went to the if in doubt make it German school of bad guy creation, because it's just every German or Austrian stereotype for some reason, just mm-hmm. Lederhosen and an evil German accent. So it's definitely of its time.
Yes.
One of Danae's sins, I like babies. People who like babies.
I had that down too.
It's so beautiful. It's great. Another one of hers was, I still have a little magic. Oh, I'm not such a loser after all. Way to make us all feel fucking special. I was like, yeah, unless you have magic powers, you have no value. Right. And there's a lot of lessons like that where they had the opportunity to teach a lesson and just decided, nah, we're not going to do that. Yeah. Just referring to the location where the Kringles choose to make their toys, and that, you know what, we're going to move closer to the supply. It's like, yeah, well, And how it ends with, why didn't Gandalf just fly the hobbits to Mordor? Because sometimes it's how do you end a sin that sums up the point that you're trying to make? And I think that mm-hmm. does it pretty well. It's like, this is such an easy solution. Why did we not do this?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go next. I don't really remember this one that much. I just don't think I watched a lot of Christmas specials. I remember watching the Peanuts, mm-hmm. Halloween special and those mm-hmm. kind of things. I definitely watched those. I mean, we must have had a VHS with all the Peanuts stuff on it, but I don't remember watching this stuff a ton. But again, it's in my cultural consciousness. Like, I know of it, the, you know, Meister Burger kind of thing, all that stuff. So, really fun sin in this stuff. It's one of my favorite things about Christmas season is sending this stuff on TV sins.
It's to destroy people's childhood.
Just destroy childhood. There is one that we haven't done yet. There's a Christmas special we haven't done yet that it's absolutely ridiculous that we haven't done it yet. And I'm promising right now, if you figure out in your brain what that is, we are doing it next year. Yep. And apologies that we haven't done it yet. But next Christmas, we'll make sure to get that one done. But this stuff is really fun. Some of my favorite sins. So just the one trick then? it really, really made me laugh. And then I enjoyed the, did you find yourself getting caught up in the heartwarming tale of Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus falling in love and bringing joy to children everywhere? Don't worry, because the movie decides to use its closing minutes to bring us crashing back to reality and remind us the true meaning of Christmas. Grumpy businessmen and manic consumerism. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. And then, finally, I had to mention the Bambi outtake because it is so terrible and dark and beautiful and perfect. Just perfectly
done. I forgot
done,
about so. That. So that I mm-hmm. wrote that, went wrote that.
That was wrong.
I came up with it when we were in Nashville and we were all together. And I brought Danae over and I just pressed the space bar with it all lined up and she went, you monster. And I did the same to Aaron. And he's just like, I could see the hatred. I was like, you are so broken inside, but it's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so great. Jonathan, what about you?
I don't know. You're going to have to tell me afterwards what the Christmas special you're talking about is, because I can't think of anything.
Mm-hmm. God, no, I will. I will.
Drive me crazy. I know I've seen this. I had to have. I'm sure I've even watched it with my daughter as an adult. I don't remember this at all. Like, and maybe it's just because it looked so bad. I've just completely put it out of my memory. Because, like, I remember Rudolph, like, beat for beat, and Frosty, which Frosty's, like, animated, but still, I remember those pretty much beat for beat. But this one's mm-hmm. one I don't. I had nothing on this, but it looked terrible, and you guys did a great job with it.
It was
bragging about being a stalker. I didn't write down what they said, but it was something like, I know everything about Santa, you know.
Right, yeah.
No, that was literally, that's the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Asking a runaway sleigh to return was really funny, and also because I didn't hear sleigh the first time I heard that said, and I was like, what was that, Sen? And then I went back, and then I saw the sleigh, and I was like, oh, gotcha.
Yes.
Is he about to shit on that book? What is happening here? I thought that was great, because I don't know, that was crazy. He was just backing up to it, and you guys mentioned the other things, so.
Yeah.
It was very, very funny. I love that we keep doing these, and I love that there's more for us that we haven't even tackled yet. So,
oh, it's so much fun.
The scripts become huge. Like, the combined sins for this was like nudging 200, because there's so, so much to write about. They're great.
Yeah, yeah. It really is fun to send old stuff.
Mm.
Like, it's just something, like, I've actually gone back, speaking of that Peanuts Halloween special, I've gone back two or three times to watch our sins video on that Halloween special, because it's so much fun to send that stuff. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that was a really fun one to do. That was, I think, me and you.
Yeah, I think so. All right, let's move into Cinema Sins. We'll kick it off with Jungle Cruise. This is an OG Atkinson Scott script. This is Jeremy and Chris doing this one. So, what do you guys think about Jungle Cruise?
Have you seen it?
No. Nope.
Yes.
Okay, because like what I've started doing, because you always write little letterbox reviews about just about everything you see, so I'm always like looking for you, and I don't know if I just couldn't find you because there were so many of my friends that had reviewed it, but I could not find the Aaron review, and I was like, holy crap, he has not watched that.
Yeah, it would be, I do put reviews for everything.
You probably did have it up there, and I just, like I said, there was like, there's not like every single person I follow has a review. On this one, there was like 400, you know,
nice
results from your friends. So I probably just overlooked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways.
Yes, I do have a review that I can give it when it's my turn, or I guess I could go first. Have I said who's going first? I don't remember if I have. I'll go first. Here's my letterbox review.
Nice.
I gave it 3.5 stars. I kind of liked it. You can tell the guiding principle here is fun, and for the most part, it serves the movie well. The blunt rock combo works exceedingly well, and Plemons is chewing the jungle scenery with glee. It's only dampened by some surprisingly poor CG and a bit of predictability, but still hopefully enough adventure here to float your boat.
Nice.
So, there's the letterbox review. Yes, a bit of predictability is an understatement. That is true. It is extremely predictable.
So if The Rock is in a movie, is that automatically 3 stars? Like, does it start at three stars?
Listen, The Rock and Ryan Reynolds. Yes, it just starts at 3 stars. Nice. Like, I just love hanging out with them. Like I don't know what it is, but...
Serious question, though. Most movies of The Rock's in, at least it's like it's kind of built around him. The Rock didn't need to be in this movie. Like, I mean, that could have been 45 different actors.
But he's still super fun to hang out with, in my opinion. Like there are just some actors I'm just like, I like hanging out with you for a couple hours. You're fun. And plus, you know, the given, you know, emphasis on dad jokes and puns in this movie is obviously going to be something that makes me giggle. So, yeah,
I had fun, though.
It is, yes. Yeah. And I love The Ride. Yeah, it's my favorite.
The ride's a blast. I always enjoy it. So. And I like to write it like a couple times. I like to write it like close together with like different skippers, because it's always interesting to see how the comedy hits, like, because they typically say the same things. And it's amazing sometimes how good some of them are and then how bad some of them are. It's at least reached a point in the day where they're just like, I don't care anymore.
I'm done.
I've had 3 kids shit on this boat. I'm done for the day. Like, I don't take it for granted. You know, stuff like that. Here's the backside of the waterfall. Fuck you. My life sucks.
I will start with the taking it for granted shout out for my sins then. Hello, my name. It was. Listen, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I completely embrace the moniker of the pun guy on the team. I will tell you that many members of the team use me as a shield. and I'm fine with that. Like, you know, they have complete freedom to do whatever dumb puns they want to do, and then people just assume it was me, and that's a beautiful thing. So
that happens so much. It's great. You see the comments, you're like, that's a dice ascent. I was like, he wasn't even on this video.
But feel free.
Yeah, first you're like, wait, did you find it funny? Oh, you didn't? Yeah, he totally wrote that.
that was his.
Totally him. Happy to be your pun shield. But it is funny. That is officially my second shout out in a CinemaSins video.
Nice.
The first was in the very first video I wrote on. Jeremy shouted me out for some reason. But yeah, so there you go. It's also nice just to say, you know, Dicer from TV Sins, because like just even reading through the comments of some of the TV Sins this week, where, you know, somebody's like, oh man, this is one of Chris's best scripts yet. He did a great, you know, job with this. It's just like, okay, that's fine.
Great.
You know, cool. Got it. Cool. I had to mention the pants joke. They certainly thought this had a super long shelf life, because that was one of the things in the movie. Yeah. I was just like, really? Is this that funny? You're going to bring this idea that she's wearing pants is ridiculous enough that you'll bring it up four or five different times. So, I was glad to see that. Did I just skip my own all the some time joke? Really?
Yes, that was beautiful. I love it.
It was great. This is my man thing, and nobody touches my man thing cliche is just beautiful for the way it's worded. By the way, this is my man thing, and nobody touches my man thing is title of my sex tape. German speaking English to the Brazilian snake, just worded nicely and beautifully. Yep. Can someone tell the movie I'm not talking to it anymore?
That was funny. I had to go back and watch that again, because I didn't think I heard it right the first time. I think, oh no, that's exactly what I heard.
Please deposit two more petals. Where he was like, please deposit two more petals. I just thought that was really fun too. So those were all the ones I wanted to mention. Ian, why don't you go next?
I had lots of thoughts about the movie, and then I realized I was being unfair, and it's just not aimed at me. Like, this, I haven't seen the film, but from the Sins video, I can see that it's, like, I think they sum it up in the video as it's like The Mummy. It's that kind of action-adventure romp, but I think
no,
The Mummy...
No, it's not. It's actually not, because The Mummy is good.
Well, so that was exactly my next point, like, is The Mummy does that, but is enjoyable, is quippy, is funny, and... it has its dumb moments, but it's I will rewatch that film 100 times before this once, I think. And I'm trying to put my finger on exactly what that is, and I'm not going to, because I need to watch the whole film. But yeah, I think I'm just not the target audience for this, and that's fine.
No, you don't need to watch the film. It is like 2 hours and 40 minutes. Do not spend that
time. It's not that long.
It's like 2.5 hours. Yeah, it's really long. It's a really long movie.
These are the type of films that are begging to be 90 minutes. But anyway.
It's just over 2 hours. It's 2 hours and 7 minutes.
That's 47 minutes too long.
You're not wrong. But I just thought I'd clarify.
Okay, it felt like 3 hours.
So. Yeah, which is a bad sign. In terms of the Sins, we need a skipper. I'll volunteer. I'm a good skipper. I skip all the time. Anything that can reference a sin, I love it. Of course, I had the Granite Sin and pretty much everything you mentioned, Aaron, but The Fast and the Cruisiest had to be in there. I think that gets written before the film even starts. The entire run of the dude that's watching the dramatic scene that goes on to make it seem more humorous, and then cutting over the scene from Aliens and then another movie, and then his head tilts just each time, was genius.
Yeah, so great.
That killed me. I could have had an outtakes video of that.
Wasn't the last one like Sophie's Choice? Wasn't that what it was?
It was Sophie's Choice. Yes, it was literally Sophie's Choice. So great.
That's genius. Why are these bees still on the map? Why haven't they flown back to Hivecore Henry? I was like, nobody remembers Hardcore Henry. That came and went so quick. Mm-hmm. No, I love that, Paul. And this is one of my favorite sentences, because it's so exasperated. Like, even though nobody's saying it, it's just some kind of bee-related curse. It may as well have ended with whatever. Like, I don't care. Just curse it. Curse it with bees. So, yeah, they did unsurprisingly an awesome job pulling this one apart.
Jonathan, what about you?
So I wrote I just like F9 a couple weeks ago, maybe that was last week, I had not seen this. And like I said, if I have any interest in watching a movie, I'll typically watch it before I watch the Sins video. So I watched it yesterday on Disney Plus, and I went into it knowing that this movie made Jeremy physically mad. but a lot of movies make Jeremy mad. So it wasn't like, and if anything, I thought that would let me be lighter on it, maybe a little bit. My review that I wrote on Letterboxd, I usually don't even write stuff, was literally nothing in this movie works, nothing. And I gave it one star. Nice. Because I really couldn't, other than like Emily Blunt is charming, there was just absolutely nothing in this works for me. It's like 87 other movies are brought in to make this one. It's so Pirates of the Caribbean, by the way. Like, yes. Insane.
Sure.
Like, yeah. They even have like the dead, like, they might as well be in the ocean. I mean, it makes no sense. And, I don't know.
It is extremely POTC. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm glad. Yeah. I people loving a movie is awesome. This is one I'm never going to get, but that's cool. And maybe I won't watch it again. But if I did watch it again, maybe I would have a little bit better of an opinion. I liked also kind of with the theme of the pants, that thing at the beginning. What's the actor's name that plays her brother? It's Jack.
I don't remember. I have to look it up.
Jack Whitehall.
Yeah, Jack Whitehall, because he's a pretty popular comic in England, right? I see him on Graham Norton a lot.
Some people would say yes.
No, I just said
Ian,
he's popular.
You seem to have an opinion about this.
No, okay, I just said he was popular. Right, Jonathan. You're absolutely right. Yeah, he is extremely popular.
I know he's guest hosted for Graham Norton.
He does all of the things. He's flavor of the decade.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I tried to watch. He had a stand up special on Netflix or something. I tried to watch, and I did not get very far into it. But he's kind of fun, like on a Graham Norton couch, just joking around with celebrities.
I prefer him doing that. His observational stuff is great, but in his stand ups, he leans into a lot of "look how posh I am." And but you are. You really are. You're so disconnected. But yeah, his stuff just doesn't connect with me. But
I hear
you. Well, power to him, he's in Hollywood.
Exactly. But the sin is that, you know, he's the one up there speaking. He's obviously terrible at getting anyone to do anything. And the sin is, this guy is not nearly as smart as Emily Blunt, and as yet she has to sit way up in the rafters somewhere while this dolt gives the speech.
Yes.
Which, granted, in that time period, that's probably how they probably wouldn't have listened to her either.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I like, we're not even trying to make these animals look realistic anymore, are we? And the only one I had that hadn't been mentioned was, I just can't get on board with a white Candyman.
Yeah. All right, let's move into A Christmas Story, our final CinemaSins video of the week. This was a Cardoso Atkinson script, Daniel and Chris writing on this one. At Atkinsoso? Maybe not. Anyhow, this goes to one of the classic Christmas movies, and I bet this was a ton of fun to sin. Ian, why don't you kick us off? What are some of your thoughts on A Christmas Story?
Do you have TBS in England?
What is TBS?
Turner Broadcast.
You
Turner
could be
Broadcasting
trolling me
System.
So Turner,
No.
Is that like TCM?
No. Well, actually, technically, yeah. I mean, they're both Turner, but no. It TBS is like it's called a superstation, I guess. Here, it's like I don't know. It's just a cable station that just shows like reruns and old movies. But they started, I don't even know how many years ago at this point. Every Christmas Eve, they show A Christmas Story for 24 hours.
Oh wow! Okay. Yeah, no, we don't have that. So yeah, we'd have TCM, which is Turner Classic Movies, and that would always show, what's the cowboy one?
The one cowboy one?
Let me tell you
movie with a cowboy.
What you're gonna love is that it has nothing to do with cowboys.
Rhinestone Cowboy?
No, the one that's got the reboot with Felix from Bond in it and The Watcher. It had a reboot recently.
Yuma? I don't know.
No.
The cowboy. Okay, let me get this straight. Let's just get a clue straight here for a second. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The cowboy one that's not actually a cowboy one, that is a reboot of the guy, of Felix in the guy from The Witcher. Or is Felix the guy from The Witcher?
So Jeffrey Wright,
he was in the reboot, which was out recently.
Westworld.
Thank you, Westworld. Yes.
I did it.
Cowboy one that doesn't the cowboy one
it is a cowboy one. No, you could call that a cowboy one for sure.
Anyway, the original Westworld, it was the only film that ever seemed to be showing on there.
A
Christmas Story.
Yes.
Another one, unpredictably, I haven't seen. But I'm guessing from the Sins video we're supposed to like it. It sounds like this is, it's somebody that was writing really liked this.
It's a classic. So
is this like, yeah, it's well regarded.
It's well regarded. It was yes. It's one of those stories. It was a colossal failure at the box office when it was released. Oh, I don't even think it got good reviews, and I don't remember that part. But it did. It was a bomb. Mm. But then, much like It's a Wonderful Life, I think it was cheap to show on television. It had Christmas in it, so they just it became like a favorite. Pretty quickly, actually, once it was on.
Even if it's made no money.
Once it was on television. And then, like I said, now they literally show it 24 hours straight on TBS.
So interesting. It is among, if you are the type of person who enjoys Christmas movie conversations, it is in most people's, you know, top five Christmas
especially
movies of all time.
Comedies. It's just, like, you hear people say this, Christmas Vacation, which isn't even on the same planet as this, but whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of people disagree with me, like Home Alone. Like, it's in that conversation amongst a lot of your average, like, just general population, I guess.
I've got to say, from the, obviously having not seen it, but from the video, the narration does actually sound like fun. Like, the narrator sounds like it's actually used quite cleverly, and it's a good good amount of fun. But having said that, like, the opening sin acknowledging that this is good narration but still sinning narration by referring to Goodfellas is incredible, and I always love the line must be drawn here and needs to be in Once Per Sin's video, I think. Getting us so close to Glock blocked that it feels like edging, that's a sitter. The longer you think about that sin, the more layered it is. It's beautiful.
Yep. That is beautiful.
A stroke of genius, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the effort that went into bothering to check if that was actually Yankee Doodle on the board, because that's one of my favorite things to do as well. Like, but I have to. Why isn't it Yankee Doodle? Like, why? How did it end up being Bo Peep or whatever it ends up being? Mary Had a Little Lamb. How does that happen? Like, how do you accidentally get the wrong song that is still a song? Why don't you just draw random notes on the board?
Yeah.
Fascinating to me. Again, the title, the sentence on this one, why are you wearing that stupid bunny? Not the sentence, but the audio for it. Why are you wearing that stupid bunny suit from Donnie Darko was eerily creepy to put on a Christmas video. But yeah, absolutely loved it. And of course, the bonus round. That's got to be the bonus round to end all bonus rounds. Just kids screaming, kids sliding, kids having dreams.
That was my favorite part. That's what it ended on.
Kids having dreams. Oh, perfect way to end it. I wish I'd been there to collate all of the kids stuff that's going on. Beautiful. Nicely done.
I think it is our first reverse sin in a bonus round. I think this is a first.
That's so cool.
There is, I think it's kids being quiet or something like that, and they take a sin off.
The only way they should be.
Yes. And I don't know, my recommendation was, because I was on this one as a reviewer, my recommendation was to reverse the coin sound instead of do a reverse sin sound. I don't remember if they did that or not, but I am pretty sure that it is our first reverse sin ever in a video.
I don't know of another one.
That's very cool.
In a bonus round in a video. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
I'll go next. I'm not a fan of this movie. I don't hate it. Like, it's not like one of those things where it's like, I can't believe people like this movie. It's one of those things that so many people love that by the time I got around to watching it, I was like, yeah, I guess this is funny. Like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm just not going to be on this train the same way everybody else is.
No.
So enjoy this movie you love, because I totally get why you love it. It's just not something I'm going to ever watch again. But it's great. It's fine. I like, you know, I totally get why people do enjoy it. Is it possible for random math problems on a chalkboard to be too random? I'm going to be brave and say yes. Beautiful. Did I just hear one of these kids accuse Ralphie of being a genius for bringing in a basket of fruit? Was that in the script? Did he improv that? I'm not even sure what I'm angry at here. Oh, yeah, kids. just really beautifully done. The movie gives a shockingly accurate description of the hot summer when me and my college girlfriend volunteered to train dogs at the rescue. Didn't expect that one, did you? Love turning the that sin on its head. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Jonathan, what about you?
This is a movie I watched a lot as a kid. a lot of the vernacular, a lot of the line, like the lines that everybody quotes, I mean, those are still just like stuck in my head. In fact, I used to turn to my daughter in lines, like when we're like at Disney World and stuff. I would just turn to her and, like, in line and just randomly say, "I like the Wizard of Oz." And she, of course, had no idea what I was talking about, which made it funnier to me. She got so annoyed by that when I actually tried to get her to watch this, and I told her, "This is the movie where that line comes from." She was like, "I'm not watching that. You can fuck right off." She didn't say that, but she gave me that look. You know?
She had every right to say that.
Yeah, she did. No, I turned her off at the movie. It is a movie, though. There's like a select number of movies that, even though I like them, I feel like I've seen them enough. This is not a movie I watch anymore. I can't even remember the last time I watched it. But I've seen it so many times, like, I forget nothing from it, you know. Because, like I said, we used to watch it all the time when I was a kid, like around the holidays. I might have even seen this in the theater. I can't remember. But anyway, so yeah, no, I'm on board with it, but I'm good. I'd be really curious what Ian would think of it, though, because this movie is so middle America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can, like, feel that from the Sins video. Yeah, yeah,
this could not be set anywhere else. Mm. Like, I mean, it's so just suburbs, middle America, white people.
Get a gun for Christmas. It's all about a BB gun for Christmas.
That was interesting. The one thing I've never thought in the however many times I've seen this movie, I thought that was interesting. They point out about the fact that the Red Ryder gun is so prominently displayed in that toy section.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in every adult in this movie seems to be against that completely. I mean, I guess the dad eventually gets it for him. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, everybody he comes in contact with is like, "You'll shoot your eye out, kid." So it's like, how is that even? And why would you ever put like a BB gun in the middle of a display with like stuffed animals and stuff? You know, it doesn't make any sense. I've never thought about that. That's always an interesting thing to me about when we go back and we send these older movies, because there's always something that like completely gets me for the first time. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why did they put that in set design?
Yeah.
I love the sin where it starts with, I don't know if they teach cursive to kids anymore, which they still do, but I love the start to that sin. I don't know if they teach cursive to kids anymore. I'm not allowed in most public schools. I like how he just throws that in and then continues to sin as if that's nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, wait, why are you not allowed in most public
schools? Yep.
Running away was clearly an option and Flick chose pain instead. having pickles at Christmas dinner. And the kids bonus and the bonus round was amazing. Beautiful. Oh, I will tell you another thing. I always used to, another reason my daughter has no interest in watching this movie. Anytime she used to wear the big coat, I would always say something like, I always lived the line, "Randy laid there like a helpless slug. It was his only defense." He's just like in the snow, just like.
That's great.
Yeah. That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm a terrible father. That's what this comes down to.
I love it.
Oh, all God, right, annoying your child. I cannot tell you the joy that comes from annoying your kid. It's amazing.
All right, let's move into keeping tabs.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my... every time I talk... is this how Aaron feels when we're okay, we're gonna try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS, so go fill it out.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
We're going to take a look at something else from the process of putting together this week's content. A weird Google search, a deleted sin, etc. I don't write for CinemaSins anymore. I don't know if people know this, but this is 2 weeks in a row where I haven't had anything. So apologies on that.
There's probably going to be like, we're so ahead though. There's going to be like a week coming up where like all five things are airing.
Uh-huh. Well, I think three weeks ago that it was kind of that way. I think 3 weeks ago it was like I was on everything. But yeah, anyhow, Jonathan, did you have anything from this week?
Nothing like huge, but I did. Well, I had an unused sin I thought was kind of interesting from What If. Ian and I, we had a lot of crossover on this one. We had a lot of the same opinions on it. And so there were quite a few where I just felt Ian wrote the better sin, or he said he wrote the better sin and picked it. I don't remember. But, But no, but we did. I was going to keep one. I decided to pull one because we had bashed Hawkeye so much, and which is kind of funny. I don't know. Ian might not like Hawkeye. I don't really have an opinion on the character, but I think it's just funny to like.
It's now become a thing where I have no. I don't have a quota on Hawkeye sins, so it survives this or skip or whatever might get cut. But if we have 10 Hawkeye is useless sins, we're keeping them.
I will say, huge surprise to me is that Hawkeye might be the second best Marvel show so far on the Disney Plus.
Disagree.
Ones.
Yeah,
no, it's good. I think it might be right.
Yeah. It might even be eking up to my favorite. I don't know, but that's a whole other conversation we'll have, I'm sure, one day.
Maybe.
So I wrote Ascend. The thing in the show, it said there is still hope for this universe. One last hope. And then the sin I wrote was, if that last hope is 50% Hawkeye, then we're 100% screwed math.
Mm-hmm. And I really loved that. I really did.
But I had to let it go. Because Ian had a different one that was had a lot more going on, had a lot more in it that was not just Hawkeye. And I felt like we couldn't just bash Hawkeye, like, you know, too many times.
So. I think, yeah, because I bashed Black Widow at the same time as well. But I loved the simplicity of that one. Yeah.
I just out of curiosity looked up why, you know, if there was some reason why James Spader didn't do it. Because that did kind of like, I mean, like I said, absolutely nothing against Marquand. Like I said, he's clearly a very talented voice actor. When I looked up his IMDb credits, he's on a lot of stuff, like American Dad and a lot of other things where he does voices. And then, like I said, he had that role in Walking Dead. But I don't really like Age of Ultron, but the one thing I do really like about it is I love Spader, and I love his voice and what he gives to that kid. I mean, that There Are No Strings on Me is still probably one of the coolest things ever said in a Marvel movie. Mm. And so I was curious about that to see if I could write a sin about that, but there wasn't anything specific. But what was interesting was that Spader's only credit after Age of Ultron is like these 9 seasons of The Blacklist. And I know like doing a TV show is a lot of work, and he probably has all the money in the world, but I don't know. That made me a little sad. I'm like, we need to get the Spades in some movies or something.
Diversify, buddy.
You can't end on The Blacklist. Like, that cannot be your last thing. I'm sorry. I have nothing against The Blacklist.
The show has run a long time, and a lot of people like it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
clearly.
It's probably a jackpot for him. You know, for us, we want to see him in something better. But yeah.
Well, and he did Boston Legal. He did that for like 8 years or whatever. And, you know, I'm sure
he did a couple seasons on The Office. Too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was. Was he the California? Was that his last name?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Robert California or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right. Actually. About
that.
Yeah.
Did that go on 2 seasons after?
Oh, at least. Yeah.
After he left.
Yeah. He's a character. He's so strange. I love it.
I gotta go watch those last couple seasons because that's one of those things that a lot of people have. Not a lot, but I mean, I just randomly I'll see that every now and then. People sleep on those last couple seasons of The Office. I'll have to check that out at some point. Mm.
Ian, what about you? What's your keeping tabs?
Yeah, I didn't have anything that I needed to research necessarily, so I went with 3 deleted sins because I don't leave everything in. But so you might feel a little poke here or not. I'm not really sure how you work. Is the lead-in on... It was on What If Ultron 1, and someone's talking to the program that's been downloaded into one of the Ultron bots. So the thing I said to the co-star of my sex tape somehow makes it into the script of this episode. I love the fact that it didn't know how it works.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so this was really brutal. So it's after Hawkeye lets himself go, and it's the reverse of him sacrificing himself instead of Black Widow. Look at the bright side. At least you're even when it comes to unnecessary sacrifices now. It's so mean.
Nice.
There was a really simple scene in the Christmas in Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and it's when they're walking past the warlock, and he just lets them go. He's like, oh, no, it's fine, I'll catch you on the way back. It's like, this so-called warlock is all snow and no ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I think that rightfully got cut, because the obtaining of balls does not necessarily make one more or less brave.
Agree. Good call. I think that takes us to the comment section.
Real quick, fun fact that Ian made me think of. When they were originally going to cast the voice for the joke got screwed up because I forgot the name of the character.
We can wait.
Hold on.
I can edit this.
Just one fun fact. When they were going to cast the voice of Buzz Lightyear, it was originally going to be Jim Carrey. So I didn't know. Didn't know if you guys knew that.
Well, going for the week-long callback.
Nice.
Love it. Love Boom. It. Pull it back in. Pull
Barbara's
it back
Wi-Fi password.
In. Yes, of course. All right, let's move into the comment section. I want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to pick a comment from last week's content in the various places that you reach out to us, Discord, YouTube, Reddit, maybe even the comments during this live show. We shall see. Ian, what about you?
Oh, so many. The comments are rapidly becoming something I can't stay out of, and it's so much fun. Of course, because this was a video that involved Thor or something, I continued to get criticized about how Thor managed to survive that arrow, because I didn't help myself out and I mentioned it again. So as soon as this script came in, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to bring that up again. I can't help it. It feeds me. So, but it was quite vitriolic. One of them was, yeah, the reason Hawkeye's arrow was able to kill Thor that time was because it was immediately after Odin had stripped Thor of his powers. Yes, whatever. In the film, he's even restrained. I figured after you sinned it before, somebody would have pointed out this mistake, but I guess not. Just goes to show that TV Sins never checks their comment sections. And I have nothing else to say about that, because mentioning it here proves the point very, very well. Yeah, it's great. I'm going to keep doing it.
I should respond there as TV Sins with just like, nope, never. We never do.
Just, yeah, exactly. Not once. I was like, wait, we have a comment section?
Yeah.
So I actually had a nice little fact that popped up as well. No, this wasn't a fact at all. Sorry, absolute lie. A heartfelt story that was quite nice, and it was on one of the Christmas videos. And it was about finishing the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve, which I agreed seemed odd because you're just going to have it for a day and that's it. But yeah, somebody said that their grandparents would literally put up and decorate the Christmas tree while the kids were asleep so that the kids would wake up and see it on Christmas Day.
Oh,
and how
wow.
magical is that? Like, that is a mm-hmm. lot of effort, a lot of commitment, but imagine like the theatre of coming down on Christmas Day and you've got the Christmas tree up, the presents, and suddenly Christmas is turned on overnight. I'm never going to do that, but it sounds very magical.
Well, and especially with kids, I mean, depending on how young they are, you're already probably putting together stuff the night before, which I'm sure Aaron's gotten to do a bunch. I still remember like 3 a.m. trying to get this damn kitchen set together and just like knowing I'd have to be up in 2 hours because she was going to be up, you know?
I can only imagine that it's rough. I cannot share the pain.
It's worth it.
The biggest sin of confirming a multiverse in your IP is that it soft confirms that all the porn is also canon. That was in the what if episode. I love it. Can't wait for TV Sins to take every chance to point out how useless Hawkeye is in every single minute of a certain TV show in a month or so. Interesting.
I mean, I suppose we might. I don't know.
Have we got some spare time?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to see. I guess I'll go next. I did pull something from the comments to the live show today.
Nice.
This was about the Jungle Cruise movie, and it was Nick who said, "If you can't impress my two girls, then you have failed. They like trolls, for God's sakes." So apparently his girls did not like the Jungle Cruise movie. So there you go. Jonathan, what about you?
Mine was pretty short. It was just Wanda that was the commenter. This was on the Ultron, and it was nothing has stakes anymore. It was the sin they were referring to, where we had that whole long sin about nothing having stakes anymore.
Yeah.
And then she wrote, "Spider-Man No Way Home says, I'm going to put some dirt in your eye," which is probably fair.
Great example of doing it right.
All right, let's move into Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond!
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
We're each going to chat about something else from the world of pop culture that we have seen recently. I'll kick us off. I recently rewatched both the Matrix movies and also all of the Animatrix. And I want to talk about the Animatrix today because I think there are plenty of people who like the Matrix universe that maybe don't even know that this is a thing. So basically, the Wachowskis, I guess, commissioned several short films about the Matrix that play into directly
the Matrix sequels.
So it's not like Star Wars Visions.
Correct. Star Wars Visions is non-canon here, just play with our universe. This is them going, okay, we want this stuff as an animated film, you know, kind of thing. And it's really cool, really good, really adult. You know, it's actually more R-rated than the actual Matrix movies are, even though I think technically the Matrix movies are R-rated in many ways. So, you know, I forget how many there are, but there's several, and they play right into it. There are scenes from these shorts that lead directly into the sequel movies. There are characters whose origin stories are in these that are in the movies. And there is backstory on the world of the Matrix. There's a two-parter called The Second Renaissance. There's part one and part two of that, that it's really great world building and helps you kind of understand what's going on. So if you've never heard of the Animatrix, but you like the Matrix stuff, definitely check it out. It is on HBO Max, so you will be able to check it out there in its entirety.
I need to finally watch it. That is something. I mean, I'm not as into the Matrix, I think, as like you and Jeremy are, but I do like the first one a lot, and that did interest me. Was it in theater? I feel like they actually did show it in theaters.
I think they did put it in theaters for a little bit.
It's
a full length.
It's over an hour, isn't it? As far as, because it's like a bunch of shorts. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. It ends up being like an hour and 10 minutes, somewhere in that range. And they do have it on HBO Max as like you just press play and it goes through all of them.
Okay.
Like, cool. You don't select the individual episodes. And the order they use on HBO Max, I think, is the preferred order. But honestly, you could watch them in whatever order you want. Honestly, there's one called The Final Flight of the Osiris, which is the scene that directly precedes Matrix Reloaded or Revolution. I can't remember which one. But it's basically whichever one starts with them in a meeting talking about, you know, I think it's Reloaded. I think it's the beginning of Reloaded when they're talking about the machines are attacking, they're on their way kind of stuff. They got that information because of what happens in this short. And it is so good. And it's also, at the time, one of the most photorealistic CG animations I'd ever seen. And it's kind of cool to look back at something from 20 years ago and go, that actually looks pretty good. Anyhow, it's all on HBO Max. You can check it all out there. The Animatrix.
Anywhere in England that it can be watched?
Do you have HBO Max?
No, they do not.
Is that like Star?
Oh, I didn't know that.
What is it? What is that?
No, it is not. It is HBO.
Star Stars.
Maybe on Amazon.
It might be on Star Stars. Could be on that.
Yes. Yeah. Could be.
It says it. I just typed in, can you watch The Animatrix in the UK? And it looked like it's on Amazon Prime, but I don't know if it's free. But I mean, it's at least there. You might have to rent it. But.
Yeah. There you go. Jonathan, why don't you go next?
Yeah, so I've been, I don't know, just my ever-long quest to fill in my blind spots from older movies. And for some reason, I've decided recently to like just kind of deal specifically with the 80s. And so this is a movie from 1980, even though I watched a few of the, there's been some big releases this week in 2021, but I don't know, this is the movie that really I was most excited about after I watched it for some reason. And it's not a movie that I would, it's definitely not a movie made for me. A being male, A being my age, but it's a movie from 1980 called Little Darlings. Have you by any chance seen this, Aaron?
Nope.
Okay. So especially like, so I'd say late 70s, there started to become like, I don't know if Meatballs was the first one, but there was kind of this somewhat trend of these summer camp comedies. That late 70s, early 80s, which, and also just in general, especially after Animal House was such a huge success, just in general, there was a lot of sex comedies and stuff like that. A lot of the times dealing with younger people, not always just old, like adults. It was like a lot of younger kids and stuff. And so that those movies typically don't interest me very much, and they definitely don't hold up that well now. But I had heard a lot of good stuff about this movie. So I was really curious to finally, but I kind of always put it off because I'm like, am I really going to, I mean, is this going to interest me at all? So it is a movie that takes place at a summer camp. At least it mostly focuses on the one section of the camp that's all girls, Tatum O'Neill and the great Christy McNichol play the two leads. I think Tatum O'Neal at this point is like 17 or something. I think Christy McNichol was like 18 or 19 when they filmed it. And this is a movie that's really interesting because it deals a lot with just how it really gets what teenagers are like, especially around this time period, which I guess I wasn't a teenager till the late 80s, early 90s, but I still like just what kids were talking about. You know, when you're like an early teen, I think they're supposed to be like 15 in this. There is a lot of talk about sex and stuff. And it's that interesting age where you really don't know what you're talking about, but you think you do. And so, you know, you want to be adult, right? You're so wanting to get to that next level. And so like, there's like this one character who says that she's engaged, you know, there's like all this, like just, and people are talking, like throwing words out like that, and they don't even know what it means. And so this is kind of more where this movie comes from. And the central plot is that the Tatum O'Neal and the Christy McNichol character decide to make a bet that on which one of them will lose their virginity before the other one. So it sounds like a very basic like sex comedy plot line. And if that's all it was, it would be terrible. But like I said, this movie ends up actually approaching it in a really interesting way. And it's a very, like I said, it's a very frank and very honest movie. Both characters, they end up focusing on these two guys. The Tatum O'Neal character focuses on one of the camp counselors, so like a much older person, played by a very young Armand DeSante. Armand DeSante with a lot of hair. It's pretty interesting. I hadn't seen that before in my life. And Christy McNichol on the boys' camp meets this kid played by a very young Matt Dillon, who's excellent in this movie. And I don't know, this movie just completely caught me off guard. The premise is not something that's, like I said, there's no way this movie was made for me. But I had heard enough good stuff about it that I was curious to check it out. And I'm glad I did. I don't think this is going to be something I'm going to rewatch a bunch, but it's kind of one of those things I'm glad I watched. It might be one that I kind of introduced to my daughter when she gets a little older. Because like I said, I think this movie has its heart in the right place. It stays away from most of the stereotypes in a lot of these movies, especially with the guy characters. Like there is something obviously just inherently creepy in the when Tatum O'Neal is trying to hit on Armand DeSante, who was 31 when he made this. I think he's probably supposed to be in his 20s in the movie. There's something inherently creepy, but the way they use his character in it is really interesting. I've never seen it done this way before when you usually have these types of scenarios. It's taken very seriously. It's not used as a cheap joke. It's a serious thing. And it had I'm not going to give away what happens, but anything that happens at this moment ends up, you know, having dire consequences on both of them. And then the Christy McNichol and Matt Dillon thing's really interesting too, because the Matt Dillon character initially seems a lot more like just kind of like an idiot 15-year-old boy who's just horny all the time. But then there's a couple of scenes where the movie actually chooses to give him some depth as well, which I don't think a lot of these movies would ever even bother doing. They would just focus. Christy McNichol, I still don't know why she never became bigger. I mean, she had a career, but it was mostly in television. I don't know why she didn't become a movie star, especially after this movie, because she's just flat out amazing in this movie. Like, I would even at least have her on a short list to get nominated for an Oscar that year. So this movie just really surprised me. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be for everybody, but if any of that interests you, it's on Paramount Plus right now, and I think it's pretty easily accessible to rent. I also thought it was interesting that it's directed by a guy, which I found fascinating. I think it's written by a woman, though. I forgot to look that up, but it's directed by a guy, Ron Maxwell. Like, the only other thing he did that of note that I've never seen, he did do you remember the Gettysburg movie that came out, like, in the 90s, and then they had a pseudo-sequel to it called Gods and Generals? Which those movies were really popular in like the South. I don't know that they were popular anywhere else.
Yeah.
But I've never seen them. But that's like the only thing he really did after this, which I don't know. But anyways, it was really good. So that's Little Darlings from 1980, and it's on Paramount Plus.
Nice. Directed by Ronald Maxwell, written by Daleen Young, yes, and Kimmy Peck.
Okay. So there you go.
So a couple of women writers on that one. And that is on Paramount Plus, Little Darlings. What about you, Ian?
So I can't remember if you've talked about this on BTS or not, but I watched Swan Song a few days ago and thoroughly enjoyed it. It's not an entertaining romp, it's not an adventure by any means, to go into it knowing that it's dealing with a really serious subject matter. But yeah, this is written and directed by Benjamin Cleary, who I don't think has really done anything else that we'd particularly know of. I think this is one of the kind of his, the opposite of his swan song. This is his entering song.
No, it is. It's his directorial debut, and he called it Swan Song. So that's on
great,
him,
isn't it?
Really?
Yeah, that's definitely on him. But this has got Mahershala Ali, Naomi Harris, Awkwafina, and Glenn Close, and they are all fantastic and brilliant in it. And Mahershala Ali, in particular, is just acting his what-sits off and just giving a really genuine and really heartfelt performance. I don't want to give away too much, but the premise is that he is rather unwell and has to make a very serious decision on behalf of his family, which is for their betterment, for the best, but it involves a huge, huge lie. And it's just about how future technology is going to present us with these decisions about identity and individuality and how we can live on without living on, and how that can work for our friends and family, and should they know, would they be able to tell the difference? But it's handled brilliantly. It's got kind of Ex Machina and Her vibes to it, Black Mirror as well, but much, much more optimistic than Black Mirror. And yeah, I had a great time with it. It's right up my alley. It could easily be an episode of Star Trek dealing with like the moral ambiguities of future technology. Yeah, just it's a great watch. There's so much to watch at the back end of the year that's Oscar baity, but this is, it's brilliant. I really, really enjoyed it.
Swan Song is on Apple TV Plus, and I echo everything Ian is saying. It is wonderful. It's definitely a type of movie that works very well for me, because it's you know, it keeps you thinking, and you know, any movie that puts a conundrum in your head and makes you kind of walk away going, how would I handle that? What would I like? What would I do? Is always fun for me. 100%
make you ask those questions, and you may have a knee jerk. Well, that's an obvious answer, but it will still make you think of that question and how you would react to it. And the technology, it's set in the near future, but it's never distracting.
It's amazing.
Very, very comfortable.
And it's fun. The technology in it is very fun. You buried the lead, which is that, you know, self-driving cars, which is really the most important.
Yeah,
most important
I'm not
thing.
Watching that.
It's what the film should have been called, Self-Driving Cars,
it should have been.
To be honest.
Yeah. Self-Driving Cars, the movie. So there you go. That is Swan Song on Apple TV Plus, Little Darlings on Paramount Plus, and The Animatrix on HBO Max Plus. That's going to wrap it up for Behind the Sins this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed and go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. If you've got anything you want to send us, you can mail it to us, P.O. Box 881, Republic, Missouri 65738. You can hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. He is at Wits End.
WHITTSINNED. I can do this all day.
And he is at Sam Lewis 13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Ian Whittington, a wobbling minx, and myself, we will see you next week.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Woo! Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com and be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/bts.
Hi, Ian. Hello. How are you today?
The first ever sin I ever wrote that appeared on a YouTube channel, on a channel, was talking about Captain America or fake Captain America. And it was, there's no good putting a sock down there. So it was a penis joke. And I was like, great, that's the first thing that I ever write.
My very first sin was the very first sin of the La La Land video, was mine. Who honks during a traffic jam is how it starts.
Nice.
Someone cuts you off or starts dancing on your car, sure, but even the biggest asshat knows it's not the fault of the guy in front of you. So right off the bat, I was like, I'm going to use a word like asshat. I don't ever say that in my day-to-day language, but I can put it in the narrator's mouth.
Barbara's Wi-Fi password?
Sure, Ian, sure.
In the narrator's
just
mouth?
Just stretch it till it works.
Oh, now that is Barbara's Wi-Fi password.
Can you feel me setting you up?
Barbara's Wi-Fi password.
We can do this all day.
Barbara's Wi-Fi password.
We have this thing in the neighborhood. It's I can't remember what they call it now. You get trick-or-treated, basically, but it's like somebody puts like a pumpkin on your... What? Aaron was like, I don't want to hear this story.
Okay, bye. I'm done with this story.
I'm still here. I just need to work on my camera. I'm still listening, I promise.
I still have to do so much to my office. I've only been in here for like 3 years.
Yeah, it's a process, definitely. I've been in this one for 2 years now. I've managed to put some soundproofing up and that's it. I mean, I want to do something more with the models, but yeah,
I don't think I'm going to do that. I haven't really had any issues.
No, your audio sounds fine, definitely.
So I don't know that my wife would love that. So
It's a pain. I wish. So I've got a friend that uses little pins to put them up, and that's actually easier to repair than using a lot of like double-sided sticky tape, which is what I used. So as soon as I...
Oh yeah, pins are always the way to
go. Pins are definitely the way to go. Like I had to pull one down because I nicked it and like took a chunk out of it. Yeah. I was like, oh no, this is so bad. And I just look around the room and like, it's on tape, all of them.
Tape eventually just, it falls, I feel like, no matter what kind of tape you use.
This tape will, the problem is this tape is too good and it will take off half the wall.
That's another issue.
I will have to probably rescreed this entire room before I leave it.
But like people like duct tape stuff up and they don't understand why it falls. And I'm like, well, duct tape's not meant to last forever. No. It's just a... That's why it's a temporary fix.
Yes, exactly. that's why people don't actually use it to repair the Titanic.
No.
Speaking of, I can do this all day. Have you've seen all of Hawkeye, haven't you, Aaron?
I haven't, but I've heard some stuff. So I mean, don't worry, you're fine.
Oh, it's just the very 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 final post credits thing. Did you like it, Aaron? Was it a treat for you, or
I didn't stay for post. I'm so bad about remembering that there might be post credit stuff. So what is the final post credits thing?
So in one of the earlier episodes, it shows you the musical, the Avengers, the musical. Well, it's the entire I Can Do This All Day set piece. It's 6 or 7.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great. It's
people
6 or 7 minutes long.
Too. I didn't know what it was, because, but I saw people like going, "That's what you're going to leave us with."
Well, exactly, because they want Andrew Garfield to show up. They want somebody to show up.
Right, yeah.
You have like some random extras that start singing, and then the main cast comes in and does all of their part. It's incredible. It made me think, like, if this goes viral, I think they will turn that into an actual stage show. I think that's a precursor of some sort.
Hashtag Rogers musical. Good God.
Yeah, man, I can see it. They may not call it that, but I could see it. Because that song... I love that song so much.
Which the on ice stuff is, I mean, I don't know. It depends on your view on stuff like that. We never saw the Avengers one because my daughter was more into like Frozen and stuff. So we saw Frozen on ice. But I've heard that the Avengers show, I don't know if that's actually on ice. I've heard that's
there
pretty badass.
There is one that's on ice, definitely.
Is there one on ice? I don't know which this was, but I know there was like a big Avengers show that they were touring
with. No, it definitely came to London at one point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard it was super, it being epic.
I heard it was super badass. I was like, well. I wasn't going to go without a kid. So. Yeah, that was definitely not something so I'm going to without a kid. I'm not going to be like by myself sitting there. What's going on?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm reviewing it. I promise.
I've never dressed up. Like I went to Star Trek conventions. I never wore a uniform or anything. I don't think I've ever owned a uniform.
Hello.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. I don't like. I'm not a costume person.
That was such a Seinfeld, not that there's anything wrong with it moment. In real life, it was beautiful.
I think, disappointingly, I'm not creative. I just buy the... See, this is the problem.
Well,
I have adult money now, so
there's
I can just
wrong with that.
Buy the uniform. I don't have to like make it. And there is some like really creative stuff about able to bootleg your own costume together. But now I just buy the uniforms and I wear them. And we went to the convention and I had like costume changes. I'd be in one uniform for breakfast, back to the hotel,
commitment.
Get changed for lunch. But it's great because kids then come up to you and that sounds odd. I was about to say, kids come up to you and want to take pictures, but in a really heartwarming way. They're like, oh my God, you kind of look like Captain Kirk. And that's all that's all that matters. They just want a picture with somebody in a Star Trek uniform.
You're just be glad I'm not doing the editing now, because just completely out of context. It's so great. You get kids to come up to you.
That's cold open.
Attract all the children.
Like you're on an episode to Catch a Predator and they're getting you at a Star Trek convention.
I don't even have to pay for candy anymore.
I do find some of the, like, I mean, you know, wear what you want to wear, but some of the stuff that tries to be sexy, like sexy Borgs, like that's odd to me, like sexy Klingons. Oh, how, like, horror conventions are even crazier. Like they have like sexy Cenobites. I'm like, no,
all
this isn't.
So the strangest cosplay that I saw at Destination Star Trek when we went a couple of months back was Boris Johnson. So at a Star Trek convention, and it just turns out that this guy he's a professional Boris Johnson cosplayer, and he gets rented out and hired out for parties, but he is a massive Star Trek nerd. So he was like, well, I'm going to go to this dressed as Boris, do a bit of self-publicity. But he was there as a fan. So he was asking questions to the cast, but as Boris. So it just completely distracted from the question he was asking. And Kate Mulgrew, Captain Janeway, were just like, is that Boris? And it just derailed the entire thing because she wanted to take a piece out of him. She's like, do you know how stupid some of the things you do are? And he's like, well, I'm not actually Boris. I'm just impersonating him.
The only time I've ever, I guess, cosplayed would be when I dressed up as a My Little Pony and sang the My Little Pony theme song. That video exists on the internet.
Why?
So this was I think Jeremy challenged me to do it or something.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. So many, it was Patreon, I think.
Yeah, it was for Sif Pop. Yeah. There was so many Sif Pop members. I said I would. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, I said I would do that if there were so many Sif Pop members because, you know, they were requesting me review the movie. And so, yeah, then Jeremy found out that was happening and used his Twitter mite to make it happen. And so I ended up singing the theme song dressed as a My Little Pony. And amazing. Yeah, that video still exists on Sif Pop's YouTube channel. So, yeah.
But I started thinking about Kate Mulgrew, and you said she was the one like flipping out on Boris Johnson because she's not British.
Like, no, she's not. But she has.
She's from Iowa.
She's from Iowa, but she has a lot of family in Ireland.
But I started thinking, I was like, wait, is she British? And I just didn't know it. And so I looked it up, and I was like, oh no, she's from Iowa because she's got like that smoker's voice.
Yeah, what stakes does she have in the game? She's writing a big book, and she's in Ireland at the minute, so she's a bit closer to the news over here. So yeah, but she laid into him. She's like, "You're an ass! Like, what are you doing?" But then he put on he went back to his regular voice, and he was just like, "No, I do have a genuine question as well."
I could do this all day.
I could not do this all day.
I got shopping to do. Come on.
All right, here we go.
On Christmas Eve?
Well, yeah, because you got to go get like produce and stuff. So you get that the day before.
That was so worth it.
That's all right. It's all right. No. It's all right. We need to record the voting pot and everything. But my wife mentions to me. Mentions to me this morning, she's like, we need a new bedspread. I was like, yeah, we could use one. You want to shop for one today? Probably not a great idea. She's like, no, I think I do. So she's going on Christmas Eve day to get us a new bedspread. She is. She absolutely is. She is fearless.
That's amazing.
Ian is in there, just like stirring up trouble, all sorts of trouble.
Was there a two-vix conversation or something going on?
I got my big ladle out. Yeah, there's a two-vix. Someone mentioned two-vix. I think
nothing like talking about two-vix in 2021.
Is this a Star Trek reference?
Right. Okay.
Is this a Star Trek reference?
Bottle oh thing. God. There are two big characters. There's a transporter accident. They get merged together. They make a new person.
Tuvok and Neelix.
Yes, but Aaron doesn't know who they are, so it's irrelevant. But that's where the name comes from. I have no idea. So
which series is this? Voyager. Is this a generation?
Voyager.
Oh, this is Voyager. So I really don't know Voyager.
It is insane because it forms a sentient being who lives with the crew for quite a long time.
For
and
ages.
Then they kill him so they can have their friends back.
Specifically, Janeway, the doctor refuses to separate them because this will kill Tuvix. Janeway comes in and says, F that, I want my buddies back, murders him. He is like, he's basically sobbing as she presses the controls, and then they both turn up, never mentioned again. It's like, wow, you straight up murdered him.
Like, I love Janeway as a character, and she's but right. She makes some really interesting decisions on this series.
She makes some fucked up decisions.
She wipes out entire like populations so she can get through Borg space in one season.
Yeah, makes a bargain with the Borg, and it's just like, later on that does come back, because they meet one of the aliens. They're like, because of your bargain, 7 billion people died. And Janeway's just like, yeah, but I gotta get home.
And this is our hero.
This is the hero!
We need a hero, something into the night. She's gotta be something, and gotta be something, and gotta be something, something, something.
I would totally subscribe to the Twitch channel that just involved Jonathan singing songs he only knows one or two words to, and yep. just inserts something into the rest of the song.
I can do this all something. We are not late because I was out partying. Just caught JCD. No, that was not. And I wasn't late last week either. I was.
It's like it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 5 o'clock in England.
In England, where I am.
We were late because we were recording this month's Bony Pod.
So
that should show up in your feed sometime before the end of the month, because that's what Bony Pods do. Mm-hmm.
They erect themselves. At the end of the month.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Wow. Okay, sure. That's what they do. They are bony pods. Exactly. No, not a bony-in pod, JCD. How dare you? Well, let's get into recording this week's podcast. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. So, if you guys are ready?
Nope.
I'll just kick us off?
Yep.
Nope.
Do this all day.
Let's get to this inside scoop. Oh, God, annoying your child. I cannot tell you the joy that comes from annoying your kid. It's amazing.
I can't wait. One day.
All right, let's move into keeping tabs.
I feel like Aaron disagrees.
Well, it's not an instinct in the nicest way possible.
No, I know you do.
Listen, we'll get into this. You can use it in the outtakes if you want or not. This goes along with the ribbing your friends thing, right? And this is a very English thing.
I apologize if I ever do it too much.
No. I don't mind when people do it to me. I don't, because I totally get the heart it comes from. I've just never had that instinct. Because there's something about me that wants to believe that the words I say are the words I mean. So if I am, quote unquote, ribbing someone or making fun of them or whatever, a lot of times it feels too harsh. Ian, you are one of the first people I've ever kind of tried this out on because it's almost a cultural thing with you.
It's baked in. Yeah. If you don't back, I don't know who you are or what's going on.
Right.
And to be fair, my daughter gives it back just as good. I mean, she's my kid. You know,
so here's what I'm saying. I'm fully aware that I'm kind of like, you know, I'm in the vast minority on this or whatever, but growing up, especially all the way through college, like that kind of buddy, like make fun of you thing was just weird for me. I'm terrible at it. I'm so bad at it.
You shouldn't feel bad for being a nice person. Telling your mom, like doing a your mom thing to your kid is hilarious.
Yes, because for the longest,
because they're like, wait, what are you talking
that's
about?
That's a little different. That's a little different. There's no insult
your mom
there.
Said.
That's just an uncomfortability with sex, right? Like that's a different kind of humor. That's not quite like, you know, annoying your child in the same way. But
it does make me wonder if that's your worldview, how do you write for CinemaSins?
I think he gives a unique voice.
Because acting is fun, you know, putting words in a different character's mouth is great. And, you know, I get to act that character in many ways on TV Sins. So, I enjoy that. That's fun.
Right.
You know, also you could say possibly, there actually isn't one coming. Barbara's Wi-Fi password.
I was like, yeah, nice.
No, but there is something possible with the idea of I was actually using words and trying to use words
more cleverly than just insultingly. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, the idea that a lot of the fun that I was having with friends was making plays on words, or those, and that has mm-hmm. served me very well with, you know, writing for CinemaSin. So, because
Absolutely.
I didn't have it in my, like, tool belt to be like, you suck, then, you know, I was much more interested in, you know, having fun with words. So, anyhow. That is what it is. All right. I think I've already said let's move on to keeping tabs. So you've got that piece in there, and we will.
Can I have a fresh one, please?
Sure. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to keeping tabs.
Without the squeak. I'm keeping tabs.
Let's move on to keeping tabs.
Great. I'll use one of those.
All right. Let's move on to keeping tabs. You all right?
I nearly knocked my glass over. Sorry.
That's why you don't keep open containers in your electronic equipment.
It's empty, but yes, that's not the point.
That's true.
It didn't know that.
Ian, what about you?
I can tell you my thoughts again if you want.
Oh, do we already do you? Sorry.
So the panic on my face, because I've already deleted my notes.
No.
So
like, You're good. You're good.
And then you're like, did I not talk about that? Am I in the Matrix?
Did I go into like a fugue state for a minute where I thought I was talking?
You did.
10, 9, 8, 7. Yeah, I know. That zero really screws all that up, doesn't it? Because you got the 2, 2, 2.
Oh, I'm just excited for the New Year's glasses that force, you know, circles into 2022.
Oh, they will. So you can wear them as glasses.
It's so weird. Like, I got it all through the aughts. I get it. Uh-huh. There's two zeros in the movie.
It's great.
That's why you've got even the 90s. Fine, I get it. You can make, you know, circles out of the nines. But as soon as we got to 2010, y'all should have stopped.
And Ian will get to tell us like 6 hours early what's going on and then how the new year looks.
That's true.
We'll get to ask
how it works.
We'll get to look into the future at 6 o'clock on New Year's Eve and be like, Ian, what's how's it looking?
Pretty much the same as yesterday. It's all fucked.
My new year will involve sportsing for the first time in a long, long time.
Oh,
one of my teams is playing for a championship. This hasn't happened since 2004. I do. I am part owner.
Oh, you're talking about, well, they're going to, yeah, they're in the first two playoff games are New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
That's New Year's Eve, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct. New Year's Eve will be the two playoff games, and then hopefully I'll be interested in the championship game as well. We shall see.
I think so. Who Michigan's playing who? Georgia?
I forget who. I think Michigan, they ended up playing Georgia.
Alabama, Cincinnati. Yeah.
Yep.
Bye, guys. I'm out. I'm done.